are so excited to have you guys with us again tonight. We're going to continue our teaching from the last session. I just want to remind everyone to make sure you've signed in, and also to check your name off on your roster at your table. Also, if you have missed any of our teachings, we're going to ask that you would visit the back table. And if you need any of the Grow Track 2 materials, or also visit their table for that. If you have any questions about anything, please be sure and ask your table host. We are here for you guys. We're praying for you guys. We're excited about what God is doing in your life and about you taking your next step. This week, we're going to ask someone who's not shy to come up and give us the memory verse of the week. Now, everybody don't jump up at one time. Miss Pam?
I know it, but surely somebody else knows.
Come on, Miss LaVonna. No, not you, Dan. You're a table host.
That doesn't matter.
No.
I need that.
No. I'll give you one of my cards. I got so much confidence in you, I'm trying to give it to you.
For God's gifts and calls are irrevocable, Romans 11:29.
All right, come on. Let's give Ms. LaVonna a hand. I get emotional because I've seen this woman just grow, you know, since Grow Track 1. So, I mean, I'm excited about what God is doing in all of you guys' life. But to see someone who was shy and wouldn't say much up in quoting the scriptures is amazing. Okay, this week we're going to allow time for your soap journals. You know, if someone has wrote down something that you want to share in your soap journal from our Bible reading, just raise your hand. We're going to, according to the time, we're going to see we can get a couple in. Come on. Not everybody at the same time. Come on. Come on. This is Grow Track 2. Come on. You got something to say, Ms. Dunn? You sure do. I love that, though.
I'm not talking to Matt, though.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, they can't hear you.
I don't care.
Come on.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. And I've known that, I've heard that, but for some reason this week it just made a lot of sense to me.
Okay.
So anyway, that's my verse.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anybody else? Now I'm gonna hold it.
Okay. Well, one of the verses that I kind of honed in on one day was 1 Corinthians 3:19-20. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight, as it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. And so what I gleaned from that was that true wisdom is from God alone. The world or the carnal mind thinks that God's wisdom is foolish. What the world deems as wisdom is stupidity to God. I need to examine where and who I'm going to for wisdom. If it exalts the flesh, it is the world's wisdom. If it exalts God, it is God's wisdom. And then I remembered that verse that says, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
All right, let's give these two young ladies a hand. We are the temple of God, and we know that God's wisdom is far exceeds the world's wisdom. And you talked about the foolishness, and you know that you know entails my calling, because for God to choose me, you know, even 1 Corinthians, the first chapter talks about the foolishness of the world. God chooses the foolish things to confound, or that's King James, to put to shame those that are wise. So we're excited, you know, about what God is going to be doing, you know, these next couple of weeks. But at this time, we're going to ask Pastor Stephen and Courtney to come forward. I'm going to turn it over to them. You guys pray for me because I have notes, but...
All right, great job, guys. We are excited about tonight. So last week, what did we talk about? Anybody remember? God's calling on your life. Right, exactly. So what are some things that help pinpoint or help direct us to our calling? What are some things that God gives us? Our gifts? What else? Personality, abilities, we're almost there, we almost have the whole shape, passion, heart, experiences, right. So tonight what we want to do is give you guys the opportunity. So you went home, hopefully you either pulled out some of the old assessments that you've taken in the past or you retook some assessments about your personalities and about your spiritual gifts. And what we want to do is we want to give you guys the opportunity to ask questions and to talk through some of the things that you guys have been discovering about yourselves over the past week. And we want to help prepare you guys to take next steps. So we're going to start with just a little bit of Q&A, or if some of you guys want to share something, ask a question, we just want to kind of open this up to you guys to get your questions answered so that we can help make sure we point you in the right direction for your next steps. So if anyone has a question, go for it. If not, Pastor Stephen will ask somebody one.
Awesome. All right. So, I mean, did anybody, let's see, who took an assessment just last semester in Grow 1? Maybe that was your first time. A few of you guys. And then how many of you, like, are like, Alyssa and Jeremy and had to call me and say, wait a second, I took this a long time ago, and I got to find it. Can you send me something? And that's okay, right? That's okay. We probably got that. We got both, and we got people all in between, right? It's been a while. So, talk to us a little bit about it. For those of you, I know we've got some good questions here, but maybe for some of you that took it recently, say last semester, how do you feel about that? How did you feel about the assessment? Did it feel like it hit you right between the eyes a little bit as far as who you are, your personality, your makeup?
Not really. It caught
you off guard. Why is that? Well... everyone else knows you as the entertainer, Gina? No. Yeah? So it threw you off a little bit.
It did. It kind of threw me off because I guess I just couldn't see myself that way.
Right.
Obviously, part, I was 58% extroverted, that part I knew. But, like, just, I don't know. I just never saw myself as, like, an entertainer.
Right. Give it up for the feelers in the room.
Prospecting and turbulent. So I don't know how to feel about that. I was 69% turbulent. But, so yeah.
Cool.
I don't know. It kind of, some of them I was like, yeah, that's me. That's completely me. And then some of it I was like, shoot.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, I mean, I answered it honestly, so I guess.
There you go.
But.
Awesome. Awesome. What about anybody else want to share? Yes.
Well, I, if you remember, I took the spiritual gifts test and starting from when that was over 3 years ago.
Okay.
Well, I just, because I couldn't find that when I actually took it, I found that I grew immensely in other areas. Like, for me, it was faith and serving.
Mm-hmm.
And pastoring. Faith was the same, but serving was one, and then pastoring, my love for actually digging into the Word of God.
Yeah.
And talking about it to other people. That actually had changed because before it was actually wisdom and discernment that had been my key spiritual gift.
Right.
And then these had actually surpassed that.
That's cool. That's awesome. Anybody else have the same experience as James? Maybe you took it a few years ago, but you feel like now that you've gone through, maybe you've been serving a while in an area or being stretched. Yes?
Well, the first time I took one of these was when I was at the starting point.
Yeah.
And I was a big introvert. But last time I took it, I was more extroverted than introverted. And I think that's because of being a table host and starting point, it just really pulls that out of you. And so
that's Bonnie Rome stretching you. Pushing you out there. That's cool. That's good. I hope that was an experience for a lot of you guys, that God has begun to show you. Maybe you at first were in Gina's shoes a little bit like, what? This doesn't make sense. But then as you serve and you begin to do some things, maybe for those of you that took it maybe 5, 6 or longer years ago, that you're starting to see, wow, look what God showed me. And now I understand that a little bit better. Right.
So that was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah.
But the spiritual gifts inventory that y'all are using now has a lot more on it than the one that we used to take.
Right.
You know, and so that was just an interesting thing. And my personality always comes out weird.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's weird. So that's something.
You're just one of those special people. Awesome. Miss Pam, were you raising your hand here?
I've taken several over the years in different churches. I think we took one, a spiritual gifts test back in Arlington. That was back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Anyway, this time when I took it, I found that I kind of was leveling out on a lot where it picked the top three, but really I had several that were within one point of those. And I'm thinking that maybe as I've gotten older in my walk with the Lord, that I'm more confident in some things. And for instance, I never thought I was a teacher, but now that I'm teaching, then I have a real passion for it.
Right.
And that's scored higher than it ever has before. Administration, I've always been an administrator, but we kind of went down a little bit where things kind of leveled.
That is good. That's cool. But I think that's just the stretching and the growth that the Lord does in us. Jeremy.
Took my test and I was in a bad mood.
Uh-oh. Man, we should have put a disclaimer on that.
I tested, but I did it anyway. I took it, and I was like, whatever. No. Yes, that's right. No, I don't have that. No, that's not me. Yes, that's correct. I don't do that anymore. I can't do that. I'm not this. But then, for me, I've been there for months. So anyway, so I'm taking the test, and a lot of the things that I know are gifts that the Lord's placed within me are still there. And it's funny because all these other things that I'm like, I don't have this. They're like threes and twos. But the things that He's given me are 9, 9, 8, 8.
Yeah. Like I was scoring it going. Yep.
And God. God said, boom.
It's just funny that the Lord doesn't take those gifts away.
Absolutely.
You don't have them, or you're having a rough day, or circumstances, or whatever. You still have those gifts, and they're still strong, and you still place them in you.
That's really good, man. That's good. That's good. You got anything you want to add to it, or you think we've...
So let's talk a little bit. We've talked a little bit about, some of you guys have talked about both assessments, but with spiritual gifts, let's talk about that a little bit. Were there any spiritual gifts that you found that surprised you? And we've talked about that a little bit. Any of you? Yeah.
Pastoring.
That was a surprise.
Yeah, it was a huge surprise to me. Because like I said before, it was wisdom, discernment, and faith.
Mm-hmm.
But then this time...
Yeah, something that's God developed
serving
that shepherding in you.
Serving wasn't really a surprise to me because I've been doing that for the last few years. So
yeah.
I wasn't surprised by that, but the pastoring part was actually a surprise to me. So.
Anyone else? Anything that surprised you? Yeah, Alyssa.
I've never, ever scored high in prophecy at all, and I was like, where did that come from? I
That's interesting.
And that was a surprise to me.
Yeah.
Is there
anybody have anything that they either scared them or anything that they didn't understand or have questions about? Anybody, like, everyone's too scared to share what they're scared of. Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
That's
awesome. You can just start preaching our teaching for tonight. You can just start teaching it for us. You're hitting it on the head. Anyone else? Anything that they either didn't understand or had questions about on the assessments? No? All right.
Well, cool. We're excited for you guys, super excited, and can't wait for tonight. I'm very excited about tonight because I think we got a room full of people that some of you might be a little bit scared. You might feel a little bit like, man, some of these things that came out on this test, whether it was recently or years ago, made me a little bit nervous. And I've had a hard time stepping out in that calling, in that potential that God has for my life. And so tonight, my heart is that we all walk away just excited. Yeah, maybe a little bit nervous, but excited about what God has and what he's going to do in and through our lives. Because, guys, like I said last week, all of you have a calling. It's not just about the pastors and missionaries. Every one of you in this room have a calling. And he has got God-given potential for you. And we're excited to see God do what he's going to do in your life, through that potential. Not just here at Timber Creek. Yes, here at Timber Creek, we're excited about that. We know God wants to use you here. But outside of Timber Creek as well, in your place of work, in your family, there might be people in this room that God's calling you eventually to be pastors, to be missionaries. You know what I mean? That's exciting. That's cool. I don't know if that's the case, but maybe it is. And we just can't wait to see what God's going to do in and through your life. And so for just a short minute here, I want to encourage you guys just a little bit more before we go into some group work to finish up the night, okay? And it's kind of it comes off of last week. You know, last week we talked about that calling. We looked at a lot of different biblical examples, right, of people that were hesitant, people that were a little bit reluctant with the call that was on their life. We talked about some of those things. We talked about the different responses that we can have towards our God-given potential and what God's calling us to do. And tonight, I just want to hone in a little bit about this idea of trust and obedience, right? If you have children and you speak to your children about this word obedience, that's probably not one of their favorite words, right? And it's not really one of ours either as adults sometimes either. But with this calling and with our relationship with the Lord and pursuing our God-given potential, there's an element of trust and obedience that comes with that. And so I just want to encourage you guys a little bit about that. You know, it's just not easy sometimes to say yes to God. Speaking more specifically to your calling, to what God's calling you to do and beginning to walk in that God-given potential and those gifts and those passions that he's given you. Sometimes it's not easy to be obedient and trust as God calls us toward our God-given potential. And we can look through Scripture at so many different individuals and examples of those who had to walk their road of obedience and trust. And for some of them, it was hard, right? For some of you in this room, I bet if I passed the microphone around the room tonight, some of you could share your own stories, right, of that walk of obedience and trust when it comes to following and trusting the Lord, especially with a calling, with that potential that he's given us, right? And I think of Abraham in the Old Testament. That comes to mind to me when God says, hey, leave everything. Leave your family, everything that's familiar to you, and go to this place I'm going to show you, right? I mean, that took trust. That took obedience. And that was probably a little bit scary for him. There's just countless examples. And then I go to the New Testament, and I see these other examples when I look at the disciples. And I want to read these scriptures to you here in just a second. But the disciples, right, these guys that, as I always say, they were a ragtag bunch of guys that just, they were just fishermen, right? They were some of the lowest people in society. Look down, you look at Matthew, right? He was a tax collector. People did not like tax collectors, okay? They were kind of the scum, right? And so, but those are the people that Jesus said, hey, follow me. Follow me. And check this out, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 22. This is one of those examples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And then here it is, verse 20. At once, everybody say at once. They left their nets and they followed him. Did they think about it? Did they take a week or two and get back with him? Did they go back home and discuss it with their family? No, it says at once they left their nets and they followed him. In my Bible, I write in the margins there, no hesitation in each of these moments in the Gospels. It's just amazing to me that these guys who were a mess, I mean, they were just, you know, normal guys. There were nobody special, right? And at once they dropped everything to follow this guy, Jesus, right? It's just amazing. Verse 21, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, right? They're with their dad. Dad probably taught them the trade of fishing, right? They've been working with dad's business. They've been working hard, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them. And immediately, not later, not a month later, not an hour later, immediately, they left the boat and their father, right? How can you imagine the father there, like, hey, wait a second, where are you guys going? I taught you how to do this. You're supposed to take over the business, and you're just following this guy because he said, hey, come hang out with me. But they did. Immediately, they left their boat, they left their father, and they followed him. It's just crazy. It's amazing. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, we look at Matthew. I mentioned that. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew said, sure, okay, cool. And he got up and he followed him, right? Just no hesitation, right? So we see all these other examples of walking that road of trust and obedience, and then you see these guys, right? These disciples that just trusted and were obedient right away. Mark 1:20, without delay, it says, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with him, with the hired men, and followed him. And I just use those as examples to show that we can trust, the Lord with our God-given potential. They didn't even know what that was, these guys. They had no clue. They were about to start learning. They didn't know anything. They hadn't been through Grow Track 1. They hadn't been through Starting Point. They hadn't been through Grow Track 2 like you guys. They've been fishing. They've been being tax collectors, right? They were a mess. And they just said, yeah, I'm going to follow this guy, Jesus. And God turned the world around through these men. Why is it so hard for us to be obedient when it comes to following God's leading in your life, in our call that's on our life? Why do we hesitate? Don't we trust him? Well, yeah, I mean, we read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Yeah, I trust him. And then we get hit with some real life stuff, you know, or we take these assessments and we realize, pastor, what, you know, entertainer, what, you know, what do all these things mean? You know, how, God, can you use that? How can you use me? God, don't you remember my past? Don't you remember me? Don't you know who I am, my personality? And yet God really, he wants to use us, right? Obedience is difficult at times. Trust is difficult at times, but requires deep commitment. Webster defines the word obedience as this: following the commands or guidance of, to conform to, or comply with. To be obedient. We can say yes to the Lord. We can pray that salvation prayer, and that's a beautiful moment, most important decision we can make in our life. But at that point, to begin to say, I'm going to be obedient to you, Lord, from here on out with all of it, with everything, right? But we must remember, when it comes to obedience, it is the key condition of your relationship with God. Guys, it's key. You've got to be obedient in all of it, not just part of it, not just the easy parts, but all of it. His lordship demands obedience. I think I've talked about that a little bit in here, and I talk about it in Starting Point. But and through obedience, you will fulfill his commands, his statutes, and you must submit to him as Lord. There's this idea that you are Lord. There is nothing above you. I'm going to be obedient to your lordship in my life. Did you guys know that the word Lord, what are some other meanings for the word Lord? Anybody? Master. That's the one I was looking for right there. Mary, you're right with me. Master, right? Take that one, for example. There's a lot of other words that go with it, but this idea of master. Did you know the correlative word for master is slave or bondservant, right? Think about that for a minute. The idea of slavery is interesting. Our modern understanding of slavery is pretty negative over the last few hundred years, and with good reason, right? I mean, good reason there. We understand it. When we think about it, we understand it as this idea as a slave is one who's held against his or her own will, and has to do what he or she is told or suffer the consequences. And that's how we see it, right? However, in Jesus' time, slavery was similar to being a servant. People would sell themselves, right, to another in order to provide food for their family and put a roof over their head. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because a slave at that time had but one desire, and that was to please and obey his master, right? A love slave of Jesus, as a love slave of Jesus, we should desire to do his will and obey his command, right? His commands. I heard this quote. It said, Jesus must be first in every phase of your life. He must be before ambitions, before friendships and relationships. That one hurts a little bit, right, sometimes? He must be before family, right? He must be before even life itself. His lordship over you must take precedence before your wants, before your desires, before your needs. That's big. That's huge. Is it worth it? Absolutely. And some of you in this room can attest to that and say, yes, it is worth it. It's absolutely worth it. Something else we need to remember is that obedience and trust, they go hand in hand, okay? There's an old hymn of the church, right? Trust and obey. Anybody know that hymn? These words are placed together, and verse 4 reminds us of this. It says, but we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. I love that, right? Your obedience, my obedience, is proven by our outward conduct, right? We prove to the world by our outward conduct if we're truly obedient to Christ. You prove your trust in God when you what? When you obey him. In the easy stuff, the hard stuff, right? Obedience has another important ingredient, and that's humility, right? It is only through humility that you truly become obedient. And Jesus is the best example of this, right? He's our great example in this. Jesus chose to be humble. He made himself nothing and humbled himself. He was totally obedient to who? To the Father, right? And everything he did, he was obedient. It was his obedience that gave Jesus strength and satisfied all his needs. And when you become obedient, you enter into his rest. And he provides you all the nourishment, all the satisfaction that our lives desire and need in our life. And even though Jesus was made perfect, he was made complete by his suffering, the suffering he did through being obedient to his Father, right? And one more important aspect of obedience is that it begins with an attitude of your heart. It really does. So much begins there in our heart, and it begins with an attitude of the heart. And Jesus must be in every thought. As you surrender all aspects of your life and entrust them to Jesus, you'll find that it becomes easier to obey his commands, not because you have to, but because you want to. That's what it's about. God doesn't want robots, you know? He wants us to want that. He wants us to want him and want to be obedient to him and the potential that he has for us and use us in that potential, that calling, and following him. Obedience to the call of God will ask us a few tough questions. And let me finish up with just three questions that I believe obedience and trust to the call, the will of God, this is going to ask us a few tough questions. Number one is this: are you ready to take some risk? Okay? Are you ready to take some risk? We talked about this a little bit last week, but being obedient may involve us taking some risk. I've said this before too, but I just don't understand why people say that being a follower of Jesus is boring. Going to church is boring. Have you heard that before? Anybody ever said that to you? The reason it's boring is because we're not taking risk. It's our fault. It's us. It's people that make it boring. Because if we're truly obedient, we're truly surrendered to him and we're trusting him, man, you're going to be, God's going to push you. He's going to stretch you to take some risk that might be a little bit scary at times, but he's with us and he's faithful. When you follow Jesus closely, you're presented with a challenge to take risk. And most of the time, these risks are going to scare you to death a little bit. Raise your hand if you've had a risk that you feel like the Lord asked you to take and it scared you to death. Yes, lots of hands. Amen? Right? And you know, we can come up with all sorts of reasons why we can't take that risk. But taking risk is not boring whatsoever. And I believe the greatest risk that any of us can take is to not take a risk at all. And God's calling us to do that. Risk is risky business. It embraces uncertainty. This is uncomfortable for us, right? How many introverts in the room? This is uncomfortable for us, right? We like normal, routine kind of lives. Some of us, I'm kind of there, right, Ellie? My wife's in the back of the room. She's like, yep, that's right. And the older I get, I like the routine. I like things comfortable. How many introverts are in the room? And it takes some. But did you see how slow they put their hand up? Yeah, I'm part of the club over here. I'll raise it high and proud. I think I'm more of an introverted extrovert, or extroverted introvert. I don't know the difference, but I'm both. There we go. But maybe we'll fall flat on our face. Maybe we won't do a good job. Maybe we'll mess up. I don't know. But if we don't take the risk, we won't know. And we don't allow God to stretch us. We don't allow God to show up, right? If Mark Batterson talks about, if your dream's not big enough to scare you, then it's not a big enough dream. Or something. He words it better than that. But if God's giving you a dream and it's not very big and it doesn't scare you to death, it's not big enough. Because God's got big dreams for you, for all of us. And I love that. What is that risk for you? Where do you need to be obedient? I wrote some things down here. Do you need to finish that degree? Do you need to start that degree? Do you need to start that business? Do you need to lead a Timber Creek Church group? Everybody says yes, Pastor Stephen, right? Do you need to step into a team leader role on a dream team? Because you've been a dream team member, and you know God's got more for you, and you're feeling that nudge, and you got another team leader or coach saying, I see it in you. I see a leader in you. And you're like, no. I'm an introvert, right? So do you need to get on a dream team, period, right? Yes, that's right. Do you need to follow God's call into ministry? Do you need to follow God's call into missions, right? We can come up with all kinds of reasons why we can't take the risk and how we're not good enough, but if God can turn fishermen into disciples, if he can turn little shepherd boys into kings, and if he can use a guy like me, he can use all of you guys and do incredible, incredible things through you. He did use a donkey. I need to add that to that phrase. But only guys, if you're willing to take risk and be obedient and trust him when he instructs you to get up and go. Get up and go. Exactly. We hold ourselves back. Right? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
When you were talking earlier about the disciples leaving immediately and following Jesus, today we ask people if they'll get involved and they'll say, well, I have to pray about it.
That's right.
You know, it's God's will for us to do that.
Yeah.
If we see an opportunity.
All right. Yeah. There's so much risk involved in it, for sure. So, absolutely. Here's the second question for you guys. Do you have the courage? That's the second question for you. It takes courage to be obedient. It takes courage sometimes to trust. I'm convinced tonight that the only thing between you and your God-given potential is one step of courage for some of you. You just haven't taken that step yet. And one courageous choice to be obedient may be the only thing between you and your potential beginning to become a reality for some of you guys, for a lot of us. Let the fear of missing out on God's plan and your God-given potential be greater than ever than the fear of stepping out. That fear of stepping out is always going to be scary. But let your fear of missing out on what God can do and wants to do, let that scare you more than actually stepping out, right? You're going to get hurt. You're going to mess up. Ask Pastor Jeremy. I do it all the time, right? You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. Ask my wife. She'll tell you, you know, you're going to do it. But God's going to stretch you and grow you. He's going to use the failures. He's going to use the mess ups to teach you stuff that you never would have learned unless you did it, right? Most of us want absolute certainty before we step out in faith. We want that money back guarantee, amen, right? But the problem is with that is that it takes faith completely out of the picture. And that's, faith is such an important ingredient in this, taking that step of faith. Do you have the courage to be obedient? Number three, the final question here. I like this one. Are you ready to be a kid again? Are you ready to be a kid again? Why am I saying that? I have many great memories of growing up in Southeast Texas, in Beaumont, Texas. And one of those memories is lightning bugs. Anybody? Lightning bugs. How cool are those, right? Love lightning bugs. Whether you catch them and put them in a jar, or you're like my daughter Audrey and just catch them and smash them and smush them to make the glowy green stuff, whatever it is. Man, I would play outside until dark, right? Almost this time of year, as school got out and summer started, every night, just before my parents made me come in for the night, and I would just chase these bugs and try to catch them. And life was so much easier then, wasn't it? Right? It was really easier. Back then when we had no worries and we had time to do things like chase lightning bugs, right? But here's the deal. We still need something to chase. It doesn't matter what age we are, what season of life we're in, no matter how many mistakes we've made, no matter what detours have happened, we still need something to chase. And as we get older, we forget that. We totally forget that. We get too busy and life distracts us. We may grow up and stop chasing lightning bugs, but we still need something to chase no matter who we are, no matter what age we are. So why not chase God? Why not chase what he has for you? Why not chase your God-given potential? Why not chase the calling and the dreams that he's put in your heart and in your life? And chase a new dream, a new calling in your life, right? I believe God is calling us to be obedient, and he's calling many of us to chase the dreams that maybe we've forgotten. And maybe it's time to start chasing God and chasing those dreams again. And so the answer to all three of these questions tonight is yes, for all of us. Like, I don't know about me. No, it's yes for all of us, okay? It really is. I believe that every one of us here tonight has it in us to be obedient to what God's calling us to trust the call that he's placed in our hearts. And to begin to desire that and want that. For some of you, maybe we talked about last week, and you're just like, I still don't know. Well, chase him. You know, get into that time in prayer and just say, God, I desperately want to know what your calling is for my life. And I'm going to start serving. I'm going to jump in, and I'm going to start doing everything I can to pursue and figure out what that specific calling is for my life, right? So is it time for you to start that degree? Is it time for you to finish the degree? Make that phone call. Is it time for you to lead that group, right? Is it time for you to send that email, have that conversation? Is it time for you to answer God's call on your life into ministry, part-time, full-time, or into missions? Is it time for you to chase your God-given potential, right? That's for all of us, right? Remember this, and this is in your notes. God is with us when we hear. God is with us when we listen. God is with us when we respond, no matter how long it takes us to respond, right? He's with us when we go and when we obey, right? He's there through that whole process with us. Amen? Well, let me pray real quick, and then Courtney and I are going to instruct you guys on what we're going to do next, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and I just thank you so much for last week and now this week, Lord God. And again, I pray for those in the room that may be struggling with this. God, that are just scared, reluctant, hesitant, maybe feeling like this is a little bit too big for me. Or maybe they're just still feeling a little bit like, God, how can you use me? For whatever reason, God, you have a calling for all of us. And you've called all of us to be obedient and to trust you. And so, God, I pray that we would all be stirred, that we would all be excited to take the risk, God, to have the courage to step out and trust you. And, God, to be a kid again, to begin to chase you and chase our God-given potential, no matter where we're at in life. God, we love you for that. We thank you for the calling that you put on all of us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to invite Bonnie Rome up just for a minute. She's going to talk a little bit about next steps and what taking next steps looks like here at Timber Creek Church. And then Pastor Steve and I have just a couple of words for you. Then we're going to turn it over to your tables for a little bit.
Great. Well, hey, this is a great class, by the way. Good looking group. What's kind of cool is a lot of you or several of you have been here as long as I have, or maybe even a little longer. I've been here 28 years, so that goes a long ways. But also there's so many of you that are so new, and it's exciting to see you guys come up through this. I just want to reemphasize just a couple things, and I think this is great what they're going through. But remember, your God-given potential is our mission, and God has empowered every one of you. As you guys know, going through these assessments, what some of your gifts and talents are. Some of you guys have been serving from the day you stepped foot in this church. And some of you have been just kind of waiting cautiously, going, what should I do? I'm not sure what I really can do. And there's a little fear. I love the fact that you talked about risk. You know, everything you do in life, there's always a risk. But when you are stepping out in risk, oh my gosh, a lot of times you turn around and go, oh my gosh, that wasn't bad. What was I thinking? There's so much great reward when you truly step out in faith. But here, what you guys are doing is you're really truly trying to figure out, what is my next step? Beyond Grow Track 2, the thing is here, we want to make sure everyone is moving, okay? You guys are on a path where you are growing spiritually minded. You're getting discipled. You went through Grow Track 1 and got a great discipleship. Here, you guys are growing deeper and wider. I believe everyone in here has gone through Starting Point, right? I mean, I think so. A lot of you have seen go through, which if you haven't, join me this Sunday, okay? But the point is this. If you're not moving, I would be worried, okay? Part of your spiritual growth is to continually move in discipleship, but stepping out in faith and serving. Jesus was the greatest example. He said in Matthew 28:20, he said, where are my scriptures? It says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others. And we're supposed to follow his example, okay? Just like after being saved, he wanted us to be water baptized. He did that as an example. So for us too, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. So I just want to encourage you. For some of you that are not serving on a dream team, right now, I want to challenge you, as you guys are going to have your discussions here in just a little bit, based on your gifts, your talents, and your results, see where your fit is, okay? And the thing is here, we just want you to try something at least 3 times. And after 3 times you're serving, say, for instance, you join, Kidworks. There we go. That's a great one. You get in the 2-year-old class, okay? And after the 3rd time, you're going, oh my gosh, I'm pulling my hair out. Please put me in the 4th graders. And all of a sudden, they switch to 4th grade, and they're like, oh my goodness, I love this. I can talk to them, and they can talk back. I literally, let me just share real quick. Am I taking too long? We had a couple that joined our youth several years ago, and they had just gone through Starting Point. And they felt they had kids in youth and in KidWorks, and they were like, we're going to try youth. And so I said, you know, I'm going to follow up on you guys 2 or 3 times just to make sure you guys feel good about this is where you're at. At the 2nd week, they're both in youth, and I said, how's it going? And he's like, oh, I'm loving it. But she's not. And I was like, oh, my goodness, what's wrong? And she said, I don't think this is where I should be. And I said, okay, so what do you think? And she goes, I think I really want to be over in KidWorks. in Kid Grow. And I said, great, because we have an opportunity over there that's looking for someone in third grade. And so she made the switch the next week, and I talked to her after that. And she's like, oh, my gosh, this is exactly where I want to be. So the point is, if you are not satisfied where you are, if you're serving, and you feel like you've either just hit a slump or you just are not feeling like you're making a difference, because everywhere you serve, you should be making an impact. And you truly are, whether you realize it or not. I know Jana was so nervous when she took a table. She's like, keep me out in greeting. I said, girl, you can do this. And let me tell you, she soared. These people loved her, and she was pouring into them. And literally, she came back and goes, I like this. You know, made her nervous. That was a big risk. But I'm just saying, there's times that you need to step out in faith and try something. And I'm going to throw a little disclaimer. I don't think I've ever said this. If you are serving somewhere right now, and you've been doing it for a while, and you're just like, okay, Bonnie, I need a change. Don't feel bad about that. Let us know. Let me know. Let your leader know, because we want you guys to be right where you need to be. And so I'm here, they're here, to help you guys take the right next steps. And I just want to encourage you, while you're serving, continually be filled by joining groups, Encounter, Grow Track 3, whatever it is, but just keep moving. So.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. Yes. All right, thank you so much. So that's exactly what we want to move into tonight, is taking those next steps. Guys, this is so important to us, and if you don't get that from all of the weeks of Grow, and especially last week and this week, it's so important to step into and to do what God's calling us to do. He's given us a calling and all of these things for a reason, for a purpose. And it wasn't just so that we could say, hey, I've got these gifts. Hey, this is my personality. But it's so that we can do something with it for his kingdom. And so, guys, what we want to make sure that we're doing, as we learned last week, as Christ followers, the call of God on our lives is not optional. When we say, I'm submitting to you, Jesus, I want to serve you, that means that we're submitting to his call in our life. And to reject that call as a Christ follower who says, oh yeah, I want to follow you, Jesus, but I don't want to do what you've called me to do, that's a little contradictory. So when he calls us, when he speaks to us, we need to respond to that call, like we talked about last week, by trusting and obeying him. And so it's so important. We so believe in this, that as we move on to Grow Track 3, we're going deeper, we got more and more, more expectations each time. And so part of attending and being a part of Grow Track 3 will mean that you are serving in some area in this church. That'll be a requirement to be a part and to go through Grow Track 3. We want to make sure that you're taking next steps in fulfilling your God-given potential. And guys, some of you may be, why put that requirement? Why say I have to be serving in order to be a part of it? Guys, we would be doing a disservice to you if we let you continue to sit, continue to soak, continue to learn and grow. You know, we've heard people get fat in the pews listening and hearing about things of God, but not doing something with them. We would be doing a disservice to you if we let you continue to sit, continue to learn, continue to grow without pushing you to go. Just like Jesus sent his disciples out multiple times through his ministry and sent them out to begin doing some of the things that they were learning. And then finally, as he ascended into heaven, he said, go and make disciples. So we are pushing you guys out, and we're pushing you to go and to fulfill God's calling and to do something with the gifts that he's given you. And so tonight, we're going to break up into our tables. Your table hosts are going to help ask you questions. If you have any questions you didn't get to ask in the group time, ask your table host. But our goal tonight is that every single person in this room, every single one of you, will leave knowing your right next step. Or if you don't leave tonight knowing your right next step, by the end of the class, but some of you, I know God's already speaking to you guys as you reflected in the last week. God's already been stirring some things in you. And so there could be a lot of different categories of people in this room. Some of you, like Bonnie mentioned, may be serving already. Maybe at first that was exactly where God wanted you, but God's stirring up some other gifts in you that you didn't know you had. And so your next step is to step into something that is in alignment with your potential and your calling. Some of you guys may not be serving, or maybe you took a break from serving, or maybe something didn't go well the first time you tried serving, so you haven't served in a while, or you've never stepped into serving. Your next step is to step out, take that step of faith, take that risk, and step into what God's calling you to do. And some of you guys may be serving in a lane that's in alignment with your personality, alignment with your calling, alignment with your potential and your gifts. But just like God's word talks about, God calls us from glory to glory to glory. He's not finished with us until he takes us to go home with him. And so I challenge you guys, just like I think Pastor Stephen mentioned, have you been serving in an area, but you might be called to a level of leadership? You might be called to step into a dream team leader position. Maybe some of you guys are just called to, maybe it's serving a little more, maybe adding something to that. And so I just encourage you guys to step into whatever it is that God's calling you to. And maybe some of you are like, well, I feel like, you know, he showed me these gifts. I feel like I've been hearing some things, but I'm not certain. So I want to share with you guys something that happened to me when I first felt like God began to, when I felt like God had a call on my life. I had no idea. I had a plan for my life, but I had no idea that he'd called me. And when I felt like, okay, I feel like God's calling me into ministry, but I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know anything. I knew that I'd had a couple of opportunities to do little mini sermons in youth. And I felt like God, that was what started stirring. And so I asked a leader in the church, in my youth group, and I said, what do I do with this? I feel like God's calling me. And I knew I was a senior in high school. I was getting ready to go to college. I thought I knew what degree plan I wanted, but I was like, so what do I do now? Because I feel like God's got a calling on my life. And that leader told me, look at what options you have available. Look at those degree plans and look at the courses involved and what excites you as you read some of those things. What stirs up excitement in you? And so some of that may apply to you guys directly because maybe God's calling you to finish a degree or start a degree. But what you guys are going to have the opportunity tonight to look at and hear about opportunities here at Timber Creek Church. And as you hear some of those that match up with your gifts, as your table hosts help walk you through that, what things kind of spark some excitement in you guys, when you hear that, when you hear about what it means to be part of that ministry? That might be the thing that God's calling you to step into. And so you don't have to have a pastor or a leader say, God just told me this is what he's calling you to do. Proverbs 11:23 is an amazing scripture, and I'll end with this and turn it over to the table hosts. It says, the desire of the righteous ends only in good. And so what that means is that when we are righteous, not because we're perfect, but because we have been made righteous by becoming one with God and allowing him to be the Lord of our lives. So when we're righteous, when we're seeking him, and when we're consistently pursuing a life that's in alignment with Jesus, then our desires come into alignment with him because they're his desires. They're desires that he's placed in our hearts and in our lives. And so the things that you desire, child of God, seeking his will for your life, desiring to grow track 2 student, wanting more of what he has for you, the desires in your heart, the things that spark excitement in you, and only in good. And so I want to encourage you guys in that. And we're so excited to see all that God has for you as you guys step out and begin taking risks and trusting and obeying God. So take some time with your table hosts, talk through these a little bit more, ask your questions, and make sure that you leave tonight knowing what your next step is.